Most of us want to control our health, but sometimes it controls us. An unexpected symptom or illness pops up, and then we're on the hunt for a solution. Many women will end up confronting the issue of uterine fibroids. They're non-cancerous growths that can cause pain and hurt a woman's chances to have children. African Americans get fibroids at a much higher rate than white women. For more on how to recognize and treat fibroids, we've got Dr. Elizabeth Stewart. She's a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the Mayo Clinic College of Medicine. She's also written a complete guide to understanding uterine fibroids. Hello, Dr. Stewart.
Thank you for having me with you.
So let's start with what exactly they are.
Okay. Fibroids are non-cancerous tumors. They're growths of muscle within the uterine wall. And sometimes they can be the size of a dime, and because of their location, they give you severe symptoms. And rarely they can get to be the size of a basketball before they're recognized.
That sounds pretty horrific.
It can be. It's amazing how much difficulty they can give to women, in general, women can have severe menstrual bleeding, the kind of bleeding that keeps you home from work or keeps you from being able to do your daily activities, or they can press on a lot of body structures. And they are very common, and it's surprising that so few women know that they have fibroids and that their symptoms may be related to them.
Now, research shows that about 25% of women in America are going to show some symptoms of fibroids, but they occur a lot more often in black women than white women. How much more often and why do scientists think that is?
Well, the first thing is that studies suggest that at least 70 to 80% of all black women will have clinically recognized fibroids, and that's a huge number. I think that we don't really understand why black women are at greater risk. Most of the studies have suggested that some of the risk factors like age that you have children or contraceptive use or diet don't really explain that disparity. And in fact, there's some newer research that's suggesting that certain genes may predispose you to uterine fibroids. And interestingly, most of the prior genetic work has been done in Scandinavia. And so the genes that have been identified to be fibroid genes really don't appear to be expressed in African American women.
So if you are having some of these symptoms, you go into the doctor, you're diagnosed with fibroids, what are the treatment options?
Well, there are a whole range of treatment options, and I think that that's important for women to know because for so many years, women were either offered hysterectomy or offered nothing, either live with it or go ahead and take the big jump to hysterectomy, and that there are some medical treatments that can be effective for women. And some women, it can be as simple as thinking about using birth control pills or other hormonal preparations. There are some minimally invasive surgeries, so sometimes the fibroid is in a location where you can get it out with a small telescope and you can be back at work the next day. And there are increasingly some minimally invasive options even for women who have big fibroids or multiple fibroids. And the two most commonly used ones are uterine artery embolization or MRI-guided focused ultrasound.
So when you use words like embolization and ultrasound, you're talking about ways of kind of cutting off the blood flow. Is that correct?
Uterine artery embolization really cuts off the blood flow. The focused ultrasound works slightly differently because it's actually a procedure that doesn't require any incisions. The high-intensity ultrasound goes through the abdominal wall and is able to destroy the fibroid. So it really doesn't affect the blood supply, but it can zero in and destroy the fibroid tissue.
It sounds like there's been a lot of advances in how people deal with this.
There have been, and I think that many women need to know better what their options are, and even many doctors are not aware of all of the ongoing research. For so many years, we just kind of relied on hysterectomy to fix all of the problems, and I think as women are busy in the workforce and doing more activities with their family and working, that the benefit of minimally invasive treatments is really evident.
Suppose that you're someone who's had fibroids and you've had them removed. Is there a chance they're going to come back? And if so, what do you do then?
Yeah, that's the worst part. And that's one of the reasons why I think research has to focus in on understanding the disease and preventing it. Because particularly in African American women, where 75% of the women get the disease, seems to make much more sense to try to prevent it than to try to keep dealing with it. And part of the problem, or part of the issue, is when you get a recurrence and where you are in your life. Most women get relief of their symptoms at menopause. So if you've had a surgery, say, in your early 30s, and then you don't develop problems again till your mid-40s, then usually something minimally invasive can tide you through to menopause. Or at that point in your life, sometimes hysterectomy is a good option for you. I think that the more worrisome problem is when you've had such severe problems, you've developed them in your early 20s, you've already had to have a major surgery, and then by your mid to late 20s, you have new symptoms. And I think that's where we absolutely need even better solutions than we have now.
Well, Dr. Stewart, thanks so much.
Thank you for your time.
Dr. Elizabeth Stewart is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the Mayo Clinic College of Medicine. Her book is Uterine Fibroids, The Complete Guide. She joined us from her office at the Mayo Clinic in Minneapolis.